My new book, Facts That Aren't True, is out now. Don't forget about my other book, Rational Answers to Stupid Questions.
I think that from what we've seen in the Bible, you know, I don't think that he would say that a lot of things that we think are bad are good.
Okay, well, I mean, maybe we can use an example. This is from Deuteronomy 22. It says, suppose a man marries a woman, but after going into her, dislikes her and makes up charges against her, slandering her by saying, I married this woman, but when I lay with her, I did not find evidence of her virginity. The father of the young woman and her mother shall then submit the evidence of the young woman's virginity to the elders of the city at the gate. The father of the young woman will say to the elders, I gave my daughter in marriage to this man, but he dislikes her, and now he's made up charges against her, saying, I did not find evidence of your daughter's virginity. But here is the evidence of my daughter's virginity. Then they will spread out the cloth before the elders of the town. So just so we're tracking, the evidence of the young girl's virginity is whether or not she bled on a cloth when they consummated the marriage, right?
I guess so. I'm not really familiar with that passage.
Right. Now, if she does, in fact, bleed on the cloth and they present the cloth, they punish the man. He gets fined, you know, because
he's supposed to be like the hymen breaking, right?
Theoretically.
Okay.
Right. Now, if it's true, it says, if the charge is true that evidence of the young woman's virginity was not found, then they shall bring the young woman out to the entrance of her father's house, and the men of her town shall stone her to death because she committed a disgraceful act in Israel by prostituting herself in her father's house. So, do you think that women that don't bleed should be stoned?
No, I don't think that at all.
Oh. Do you know that only about 45% of women bleed the first time they do it?
Yeah, I do. I know that a lot of women don't have that happen to them. I think that this is also set in a time where, you know, a lot of people didn't know things like that. You know what I'm saying? So, it's hard to try to judge it based off of how things are today, looking back in time on how people saw things back in the day. So you don't have the same perspective as they did like 1500 years ago. You know what I'm saying?
Sure. Did God know it?
I'm sure God did. Yeah.
Because God is the one that gave the laws.
So in that passage, is it saying that God said that that's the way it's supposed to go?
Yeah, all the laws in Deuteronomy are given through Moses from God. And you can find about 12 or 13 different places in Deuteronomy where it says that. So, for example, like in Deuteronomy 7:12, if you heed these ordinances by diligently observing them, the Lord your God will maintain with you covenant loyalty, which he swore to your ancestors. There's a bunch of them. 6:1. Now, this is the commandment and statutes and ordinances that the Lord, the God, your God, has charged me to teach you. And then 6:24, the Lord commanded us to observe all of these statutes and to fear the Lord, so on and so forth. So all the commandments in Deuteronomy are coming from God.
Yeah. So the way that my, I guess, branch of Christianity looks at the Bible, it's the Old Testament is kind of like null and void after Jesus Christ dies. You know what I'm saying? Like, he paid for all of our sins based off of all of those laws, so everything has been pretty much fulfilled. That's not really something that we deal with in today's day and age, so I don't feel like it's a valid argument in thinking about, oh, is God good? Because of the Old Testament was kind of written as lessons for us to look back on and see like evidence of what God did.
But in the past, was, is. So, I mean,
right.
If it's... It's sort of like you're saying, well, that's not the rule anymore. I mean, that is what you're saying. Like, this isn't the rule anymore. We're not asking whether it is the rule anymore.
Like, a lot of wives, we don't really do that anymore. So just because that happened, are you just going to think that, you know, that's a normal thing for today?
No.
Well, no, we're not saying anything about today.
So we're just saying if it was right or wrong. Like, we don't have... We actually do have slavery in the United States, but we don't have chattel slavery anymore. But it was wrong when we did. I think we can agree on that, right?
Yeah, we can agree slavery was wrong. Okay. We can agree that a lot of things were wrong.
Well, but we don't... Do we agree that it was wrong for God to say that these women will be killed, even though statistically we can guarantee that women who didn't do anything would be killed. And also, it makes absolutely no sense to stone a woman to death for this, even if she is guilty of it.
Yeah, that doesn't, I mean, it doesn't make sense. That's a good point. But again, based on like what I believe, we don't really hold the Old Testament to like, you know, the teachings of today. Like modern Christianity.
But we're not doing that. Yeah.
Doing what? I'm sorry.
We're not talking about today. We're talking about when this law was.
How God is good, and we're only talking about the Old Testament. So if we talk about the New Testament.
Gabby, we've only talked about one. Gabby, hold on. We're only talking about one passage right now. We could talk about 100 different passages. We're only doing one at a time.
Okay.
So the law was given, and even if you think it's no longer applicable, it was applicable for about 1,500 years. Okay? So during those 1,500 years, was it a good thing that God commanded innocent women to be stoned?
Maybe the context of the time, that's how people thought. But you don't have any way. You weren't back
then. We're talking about God. We're talking about God, not people.
Yeah, we're talking about God, but God was still back in that same time period. Was he not?
Right, and we're talking about, was it a good thing?
The community and the society at that time.
Gabby, we need you to
pick the best thing at that time.
I know you think that saying lots of words is going to help. It's not. It's just a yes or no question. Was it good for 1,500 years that God told them to stone innocent women?
Respectfully, I think that you are trying to filibuster me with that kind of a question. I think that
it just needs a yes or no.
It's not a filibuster because he gave you an opportunity to respond.
Yeah, but I already gave my response.
You didn't.
It was at that time, but yeah,
it was
different perspectives.
Okay, so it was good. It was a good thing that God had innocent women killed.
I don't think that anybody should be killed innocently, but how do you know if they?
But
were
you just said it was.
How do you just said it was good? Know if they
you
were
just said you just said that it was good that they were going to be killed, and only about half of them would have been actually guilty.
Listen. Back in the day, that's how things worked. Like, if you weren't a virgin, you didn't get married. I don't think that it was right for them to be killed, but I also...
We're not talking about the... Gavi, we need you to pay attention. We're not talking about human customs. We're talking about the laws that God gave. Nobody dictated the laws to God. God dictates his own laws. We're not judging people living in the Bronze Age. We're judging the God that came from the Bronze Age.
What you're also... It's also... I really wouldn't do this for you, because what you're telling us is that the system back then was much more unfair than it is today. We don't even disagree. But what did God step in and do? Enacted death penalties to bolster the unfairness of the society. It was, women were worse off if they couldn't get married back then. We can both agree. Do they deserve to die? No, but God made it so that that would happen.
Why do we think that God made it so that they had to, like, had that happen to them?
Because it says
so. Like, I'm here to learn also. Like, I'm not just trying to, like, you know, just be dumb. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm open to hearing your dialogue, but.
Well, the reality is, whoever wrote this book, it clearly wasn't God. Because we would expect that God would know that bleeding isn't a good predictor of virginity. It also is weird that he's obsessed with female virginity and not male virginity.
Also,
I mean, that might be weird, but that's still something that we see as being important today, is that not?
Should it?
I mean, do you not think that it should be?
No, I'm saying, should we only care about female virginity?
No, we shouldn't only care about female virginity, but we should still try to stay pure in the most pure way we can.
And why should we only care? Why should we not only care about female virginity?
I don't think I understand the question.
Why, you said that we should not just care about female virginity. Everybody, men and women, should care about being pure. Why is that the case? Why would it be wrong to only care about female virginity?
Well, in that same time period, in that same book, was it not common for men to have multiple wives?
Listen, you keep dodging easy questions. I'm just asking you.
I'm saying that is obviously a sign,
Gabby,
of evidence.
Focus up.
That at that time,
it focus up, Gabby.
Oh my
Gabby,
goodness.
Focus. Pay attention. Okay, you said
to be respectful about like the.
Gabby, you said that we shouldn't just focus on female virginity. We should focus on men and women. Now, I'm asking you to explain why that is the case. Why should we focus on both men and women rather than just on the women? Why is that the thing?
Because men and women are equal.
Exactly.
I agree. Fantastic. Okay. Now, in the Bible, when we read the laws that God gave, did God have the same idea as you, or are his ideas different?
His ideas are different because of the context okay. of the time period. Like,
okay, so what about the context of the time period demands him to be unjust?
Well, the government, for example, women weren't allowed to have their own kind of place of being. Women couldn't afford...
So why didn't God say, hey, you society that treats bad women or treats women badly, on top of that, fucking kill them sometimes? Why didn't God say, treat them better?
So that we could try to do better. You know what I'm saying?
Give them free will. He demanded that they kill people. That kind of coercion is not free will. But all you're doing is telling us how unequal these societies were back then. And that is the fault of people who, I don't know if you've ever met people, but they kind of suck. And they used to suck a lot more. But then all you're telling us is that it's fine for God to do these things because it's in context with the society. But God could absolutely have, like, God is literally just reinforcing their bad behavior and making it even worse. Hey, women who can't get married in your society, and women are more prized as virgins, well, let's double down on that and kill them for not doing what men want. Instead of, God could literally just say, you could still have a society that that doesn't really let women be self-reliant, but God could have said, you may not ostracize or kill or whatever a woman for lying about her virginity or something like that. But instead, he said, go farther than this and kill them to death.
I'm not saying that Old Testament God wasn't a very, like, harsh God. I'm saying that, like, that's not how it should, you know, I'm a little tripped up.
That's because you have a conscience.
These are hard passages. They should trip you up. That's the point.
I think the Old Testament is always really harsh and abrasive, though, whenever you read it. I think every Christian has been able to, like, understand that in their journey with God, like,
but why? Why is it so harsh and abrasive if the nature of God is good?
I don't know. Honestly, we've always been taught to just accept what God does as it being right.
Ooh. Right. Yeah, that ain't good.
Exactly. That's the problem. Would you accept that in the Quran? Like, if you read about Muhammad doing something horrific, would you just accept, well, he must have had a good reason for it?
No, but I think that's the issue with faith, is that I'm still going to believe that whatever God did, he had a reason to do it, and it was the best thing at that time.
So best thing to do is to kill innocent women.
Yeah, you can justify anything this way.
There's also so many good passages, though. Like, there's so much evidence of him being good, so why do we have to only focus on the negative?
Why do you only focus on the good?
I think the bads are a lot worse than the goods are good.
I agree. All the good stuff we can find outside of the Bible as well. Like, we don't need the Bible to, like, know you should be good to your neighbor.
I guess, but I think I mostly was trying to come on to try to justify the God being just thing with the way that he punishes sin. Because the main thing I wanted to say was that, like, all sin in God's eyes is seen as equal. And that's mostly to make people understand that, like, if they sin and somebody else does something that they think is worse, like, all of the sin is equal, doesn't make you better than anybody else.
Okay, so then his justice is arbitrary then. Because if everybody is equally guilty of all the same sins, but he punishes some and not others, then that means he has no system of justice.
Well, everybody's going to be punished at the end of the day in Revelation.
Not the believers.
Yeah, not the believers that have accepted Jesus. And have actually tried to do better with their lives. Yeah, if you accept
then there's this in then your there's no justice. Have you read the parable of the 11th hour?
I have not.
Okay. There's a really interesting parable that Jesus tells about the 11th hour, where a man goes out and he finds a worker early in the morning to work, and he agrees on a wage to give him. And then a couple hours later, he still needs more help, so he goes out and finds another helper and pays them the same wage. And then he does this like three more times. I'll find you the passage real quick. And then near the end of the day, like near the 11th hour, he goes out and finds another person to help. And then at the end of the day, he ends up paying all of them the same wage. And of course, the ones that worked all day were upset as the ones who only worked for like an hour, because they all got the same pay. And this is an analogy for how the kingdom of heaven is not fair, because you can come in at the very last hour. It doesn't matter if you've been there the whole time. You could confess Jesus on your deathbed and still be in heaven. So this is not a system that punishes sin. This is a system that only rewards you if you follow this loophole.
I think that it's not really a loophole, though, because when you are supposed to accept Jesus Christ, you're supposed to live in the way that he was.
On your deathbed.
Yeah, but on your deathbed, if you really have that great change in mind and change in heart, and you believe dearly that if you did continue life, that you would live in a better way, that's the way it's supposed to go. It's not supposed to be like, oh no, a cop but, out. Like, sorry, yeah,
then there's no punishment.
Yeah, like
there's no justice. Then
we understand in theory, but in practice, you know, like, do you think Jeffrey Dahmer is going to go to heaven?
That's a big. Theological question for a lot of people, actually. Like, some people think that Hitler might go to heaven, but I mean, nobody really knows.
Yeah, well, I don't think Hitler was actually a Christian or anything like that, but Jeffrey Dahmer pretty openly talked about his conversion, and you know, in prison. So I mean,
I think it gives a lot of people hope, though. Like, why wouldn't you want to believe in a God that is good enough to let you come into heaven just based off of, you know, believing in
the moral teaching? Because there's such a more serious problem, which is, why act good ever at all for any reason when all you have to do is repent in the end, and then you will not be ultimately punished. Every single thing about that is completely selfish. Your salvation is selfish, and yeah, it gives you license to
selfishly doing that. I think that God sees your heart, especially on judgment day. And I don't think that if your heart is selfish, that he would just let you in.
Cool. So Dahmer's in heaven.
It's kind of like what we were talking about earlier. What if they repent? Well, what if they didn't really repent? You don't get to tell me what my hypothetical is. What if they repent? And apparently they are saved through that. And so then it doesn't matter what else they did. And so like we know that people who are like demagogues and psychopaths and are full of themselves, we know that they act like this. We see them in our society. They say, oh no, I'm the good one. And these are the people that yell at their waitresses at IHOP and make them cry, you know, and just do terrible things to terrible to I was going to say to terrible people. They do terrible things to people, but they're so very self-righteous that they don't care, and they're not introspective, and they're just bad people, and they're just bad for society. And this very cheap way of getting salvation just plays into all of that.
I think that this is just where we kind of have a difference in opinion, because I think that if you really, like, truly do repent and your heart is changed, that's when you're saved and that's when you receive salvation. But, like, just saying that, like, anybody that repents will basically get into heaven, it doesn't really resonate because, you know,
but that's what he said.
Yeah, that is what I said.
Gabby, you weren't listening when I said, we're not saying that you can repent in bad faith. No one said that. We're using the same word the way you would use it.
But you can be a terrible person and then repent and really, really mean it at the end, and then it's a wash. So why be motivated to act like a good person when that's all you have to do at the end.
That's just, you know, it's a process between, I guess, your own relationship with God. But the way that I was interpreting it is that, you know, bad people might not actually truly mean it whenever they're repenting. And that's what I was kind of going off of.
Right. But in our analogy, sure, they are truly repentant. It's our analogy.
Yeah, I get that. And I think that if they really do believe it and they are repentant and they change, you know, that'll be shown in heaven.
You're right. I want to read you a short little passage that most people aren't aware of and no one really talks about, but it's pretty horrific, actually. This is in Exodus 17 when the Amalekites are at war with the Israelites. It says, Amalek came and fought with Israel at Rephidim. Moses said to Joshua, choose some men to go out for us, and then they go and fight, right? And it says, tomorrow I'll stand on top of the hill with my staff of God in my hand. Okay, so all that comes to pass. And then during the battle, it says, whenever Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed. And whenever he lowered his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands grew heavy, so they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. So every time Moses' arms got tired holding him up, God said, I'm just going to let a bunch of Israelites get killed. Do you think that's like normal behavior for a good God?
You know, like I said, I think that God has a reason for doing everything. And, you know, I really do respect you guys for having so many facts together. And I'm realizing now I'm probably not as prepared as I should have been. So when I do have more facts, I'm going to come back to y'all. I promise.
All right. Thanks for coming out, Gabby.